all songs becomes established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 6, Purusha Sukta confirmed, and today's text should be 21. Yeah. Now, time is a little tight because of the schedule of starting at 7:15, so I'm just going to go right into the verse instead of doing the word for word. Sriti vichakrame vishvam Sashana Sashana Nashane Ubhe Yad Avidyacha Vidyacha Purushas Tubayashayaha Sriti Vichakrame Vishvam Sashana Nashane Ubhe Yad Avidyacha Vidyacha Purushas Tubayashayaha Sriti Vichakrame Vishvam Sashana Nashane Ubhe Yad Avidyacha Vidyacha Purushas Tubayashayaha. Please chant. Vishakrame Vishvam Sashana Nashane Ubhe Yad Avidyacha Vidyacha Purushas Tubayashayaha. Sashana Nashane Ubhe Yad Avidyacha Vidyacha Purushas Tubayashrayaha. Sriti Vichakrame Vishvam Sashana Nashane Ubhe Yad Avidyacha Vidyacha Purushas Tubayashrayaha. Vaishnavis, Sriti Vichakrame Vishvam Sashana Nashane Ubhe Yad Avidyacha Vidyacha Purushas Tubayashrayaha. Okay, synonyms. Shriti, the destination of the living entities. Vichakrame, exists comprehensively. Vishvan, the all-pervading personality of Godhead. Sashana, activities of lording it over. Anashane, activities in devotional service. Ubhe, both. Yat, what is? Avidya, nescience. Cha, as well as. Vidya, factual knowledge. Cha, and. Purushaha, the Supreme Person. To, but. Ubhaya, for both of them. Ashrayaha, the Master. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. By his energies, the all-pervading personality of Godhead is thus comprehensively the master in the activities of controlling and in devotional service. He is the ultimate master of both nescience and factual knowledge of all situations. Please repeat. By his energies, the all-pervading personality of Godhead is thus comprehensively the master in the activities of controlling and in devotional service. He is the ultimate master of both nescience and factual knowledge of all situations. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The word Vishvan is significant in this verse. One who travels perfectly in every field of activity is called the Purusha or Kshetrajna. These two terms, Kshetrajna and Purusha, are equally applicable to both the individual self and the Supreme Self, the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, text 3, the matter is explained as follows. Kshetrajnam chapi mam vidhi sarvakshetreshu bharata. Kshetrajnayor jnanam yat tajjnanam matang mama. Kshetra means the place, and one who knows the place is called Kshetrajna. The individual self knows about his limited field of activities, but the Supreme Self, the Lord, knows about the unlimited field of activities. The individual soul knows about his own thinking, feeling, and willing activities, but the super soul, or the Paramatma, the supreme controller being present everywhere, knows everyone's thinking, feeling, and willing activities, and as such, the individual living entity is the minute master of his personal affairs, whereas the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the master of everyone's affairs, past, present, and future. Vedahang Samatitani. That's from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 26. Only the ignorant person does not know this difference between the Lord and the living entities. The living entities, as distinguished from incognizant matter, may be qualitatively equal to the Lord in cognizance, but the living entity can never be equal to the Lord in full knowledge of past, present, and future. And because the living entity is partially cognizant, he is therefore sometimes forgetful of his own identity. This forgetfulness is specifically manifested in the field of the ekapad vibhuti of the Lord, or in the material world, but in the tripad vibhuti, field of actions, or in the spiritual world, there is no forgetfulness by the living entities who are free from all kinds of contaminations resulting from the forgetful state of existence. The material body is a symbol of the gross and subtle form of forgetfulness. Therefore, the whole atmosphere of the material world is called avidya or nescience, whereas the whole atmosphere of the spiritual world is called vidya or knowledge, or full of knowledge. There are different stages of avidya. They are called dharma, artha, and moksha. The idea of moksha or liberation held by the monist in the matter of oneness of the living entity and the Lord by ultimate merging in one is also the last stage of materialism or forgetfulness. Knowledge of the qualitative oneness of the self and super-self is partial knowledge, and ignorance also, because there is no knowledge of quantitative difference, as explained above. The individual self can never be equal to the Lord in cognizance. Otherwise, he could not be placed in the state of forgetfulness. So, because there is a stage of forgetfulness of the individual selves or the living entities, there is always a gulf of difference between the Lord and the living entity, as between the part and the whole. The part is never equal to the whole. So, the conception of 100% equality of the living being with the Lord is also nescience. In the field of nescience, activities are directed toward lording it over the creation. In the material world, therefore, everyone is engaged in acquiring material opulence to lord it over the material world. Therefore, there is always clash and frustration, which are the symptoms of nescience. But in the field of knowledge, there is devotional service to the Lord, bhakti. Therefore, there is no chance of being contaminated by the influence of nescience or forgetfulness, avidya, in the liberated stage of devotional activities. The Lord is thus the proprietor of the fields both of nescience and of cognition, and it remains a choice of the living entity to exist in either of the above regions. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prishtaya, Bhutale, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine, Namaste Saraswate Deve, Gauravani Pracharane, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatale Shtarani. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshara Unmilitam Jaina Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Shapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadate Swapadantikam Vandeyaham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamlam Shri Gurun Vaisyavangsa Shri Rupam Sahagajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vatam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sayatam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvatamsa Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kopatarubhya Shakripa Sindhu Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaisavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gauravinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. What a purport. So, points are very clear. Before we discuss a little bit, I just wanted to share something. For decades, I'm bowing down in front of Dwarkadish, and just last week, I was thinking, where does this D come from in Dwarkadish? Because normally, I'm thinking, Dwarkadish should be a combination of Dwarka, Krishna's abode, and Isha, controller. So where does this D come from? In Sanskrit, you have this combination everywhere, like Suresh is Sura and Isha. Devesh is Deva and Isha. So I'm thinking, Dwarkadish should be Dwarka and Isha. Where does this D come from? Couldn't figure it out. So I immediately called my dear friend and God brother, Dravida Prabhu, and asked him, where does this D come from? And he couldn't figure it out either. He said, I'll contact one of my Sanskrit guys and get back to you. So he contacted one Sanskritist, Kishore Prabhu, who's a graduate of Gopi Puranadana Prabhu's Sanskrit school in Vrindavan. And he got back with the answer. He said, in Sanskrit, there are two forms of the word controller. There's Isha, which we all know, and there's Adhisha, A-D-I-S with the diacritic A, Adhisha. So when you put Dwarka and Isha together, you get Dwarkesh. When you put Dwarka and Adisha together, you get Dwarka Adisha. It's long A. We all say Dwarkadish, but it's Dwarka A and Adisha, another A. So you put them together, you get Dwarka Adisha. It's a long A. Shishukmini Dwarka Adisha ki jai. So I just thought I'd share that. All right, so here Prabhupada is talking about actually explaining Lord Brahma's explanation. This whole explanation started with Narada Muni approaching Lord Brahma. And he asked him, Deva Deva Jagat Dhatur, Bhuta Bhava Napurvaja, Tadvijanhi Yajganam, Atmatatma Dinarshanam. He's asking for Lord Brahma to explain to him the situation that we're in. Narada Muni is not in that situation. We know Narada Muni came from the spiritual world. And as Prabhupada pointed out in a previous purport in this section, those who are in the spiritual world, they have knowledge. It's not so he's not without knowledge. He's not asking to satisfy his own curiosity. He already knows everything. He knows so much that back in previous canto, when he was giving his darshan to Vedavyas, he told him, he said, in my previous life, I was the son of a maidservant. And by following, and by satisfying the Bhaktivedantas, I became perfect. And in the next life, now I'm a liberated spiritual being. So he knows his situation. It also made me wonder that if some or other I get back to home, back to God, am I going to remember everything that I did in the material world? That would be a nightmare. To remember everything you did while you were in the material world? OMG. Just in one lifetime, we do so much nonsense, what to speak in so many other lifetimes. We've been murderers. We've been all, you name it. You stay in the material world long enough, you've been everything horrible. And also some good, for sure. But who wants to remember all of that? But some or other Narada Muni at least remembered his last life in the material world. Maybe I don't know if he remembered all of them, but at least the last life. So he approached Lord Brahma and he asked him. First of all, he addressed him as Deva Deva, the chief of the demigods. And again, we know that even, although Narada Muni appeared as his son, he's coming from the spiritual world. He's a perfect being. Lord Brahma is not always perfect. Sometimes Lord Brahma doesn't make it out. Now, our Lord Brahma maybe a special case. He's, first of all, the head of our sampradaya. And he appears in Chaitanya Leela as Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur. And Lord Chaitanya named him Namacharya. His service was to propagate the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, which he did perfectly. So we can assume that our Lord Brahma is definitely on a different platform. You don't get to be Namacharya if you're a contaminated soul. So Lord, here Narad Muni has asked him these questions. He says, please give me information, Atma Tattva, Nidarshanam. Darshan means, you know, it's take, come and see. So he wants to see, for our benefit, what is going on in this material world. So here Lord Brahma is explaining. And in today's verse, he's talking about the energies of the all-pervading personality of Godhead. And he is comprehensively the master in activities of controlling and in devotional service. So, as Prabhupada extensively pointed out in the purport, there are two things going on here, vidya and avidya. Those who are deeply in this nescience, one of their characteristics is this desire to gain opulence and control the material world. That's also explained in the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that they want to gain. So much is mine now, and I will gain more according to my schemes. So much wealth I have today, and I will increase it more and more. He's my enemy, and I've killed him, and my other enemies will always be, also be killed. This is the materialistic mentality that is fostered by this avidya, this ignorance, wanting to control that which doesn't belong to you. You can't. Ultimately, you can't own what doesn't belong to, what you can't control. That's the point. If you don't have control over something, you can't really claim to be the owner. And ultimately, none of us have control over this material world. We see how just a little virus can wreck, like now in Kali Yuga, everything is focused on economy, economy, economy. Nobody cares about even concept of moksha. You're supposed to be dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So first, dharma is supposed to be there. You're supposed to be a religious person, at least accept some traditional form of religiosity, of spirituality, for purification. And then, when you're fixed in that, then artha. Then you can develop some, because we need. We need food, clothing, shelter. The necessities of the human life have to be there. And that can be done in a religious way, that you can acquire a nice place to live, you know, food, etc., but not excessive if you're actually spiritual. If you're actually spiritual, then you understand that having more and more and more and more and more is never going to satisfy me. That's the point of economic development that comes out of spirituality. If you're a spiritual individual living in a spiritual community, then you take according to your need. The greed becomes minimized. But as it said, this earth provides enough for everyone's needs, not for everyone's greed. When greed becomes prominent, then we have what we have today. Such disparity. Some people are living on a very, very, very high level, very prominently. But it doesn't mean they're safe. Practically every, at least once every year, you hear of some millionaire or some sports figure flying in their own jet and it crashes. Isn't it? So living on a very high level doesn't mean that you're safe. This is the point. Any ignorant child should be able to see that. And this is what Lord Chaitanya has done for us. He's pointed out these points that you're never going to be happy by any amount of material opulence. So you have to give at least some portion of your energy, some portion of your consciousness to developing genuine spiritual life. And I, Lord Chaitanya said, have made it very easy for you in this life. No matter who you are, you could be CEO of Amazon, or you could be some guy can't even put two pennies together to buy one chapati every day. You can chant in any circumstance. Even if you don't have any beads, you can't even afford to buy a string of beads. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama, Rama. You can count on your fingers. So he's made it so easy. He's not saying that by chanting Hare Krishna, everybody's going to have an equal economic situation. That wasn't the case when he was here. When Lord Chaitanya was on the planet 500 years ago, he had so many varieties of devotees. from King Prataparuja, the king of Orissa, very, very wealthy person, to Kolab and Sridhar. But Lord Chaitanya showed that I'm not attracted by your material opulence. He, Prataparuja, he was keeping away. No, I don't want to see him. He's a king. He's a pounds and shillings man. I'm going to be contaminated. And he had to secretly give him darshan during the Rath Yatra. But Kolab and Sridhar, so poor, Lord Chaitanya was going to see him every day. Personally. Stealing his bananas and having interaction with him every day. So the Lord is not attracted by our material opulence. He's attracted by our bhakti. Same thing with Haridas Thakur. Lord Brahma came as Haridas Thakur. He couldn't even enter the Jagannath Puri temple. He had to stay outside. But Lord Chaitanya was coming to see him every day. Sanatan Goswami gave up his opulences. Became a mendicant. Begging. To the point I don't even want to beg anymore. He was just taking the rejected rice that the cows wouldn't even eat. That was his food every day. And Lord Chaitanya was coming and stealing his rejected rice. No, my Lord, you can't. No, this. Why are you hiding from me? Give me that. So the Lord is not attracted by our opulence. It's not that we have to live on a very high material level and then the Lord will come. Just the opposite. People who live on a very high material level, they become puffed up. As Queen Kunti says, they cannot feelingly call out the name of Krishna. Yeah, they come to temple and they bow down and they very ostentatiously put $100 in the hundi box. But rascal, you have millions of dollars. And the Goswamis have set the example that at least 50% of that should be given for the Lord's service. You do that, hey, you can go back to Godhead just by being generous to the Lord, giving him back what belongs to him. So, Lord Brahma is pointing out again that Krishna is the controller in both spheres. Whether you're in the sphere of avidya or you're in the bhakti sphere, Krishna is the controller. Dwarka Adisha. He is the controller. No matter who you are and what level of life you're living on, Dwarka Adisha is the controller. And if you become cognizant of that, become conscious of that, it's for our own benefit. Krishna already knows, as Prabhupada says in the purport, Veda hamsamati tani vartamani tavarjuna babishyami chabutani mam tu veda nakashana, Krishna says in the 7th chapter. Veda aham. Krishna says, I know everything. You can't hide anything from me. You can't hide how much money you have. You can't hide how much bhakti you have. You cannot fake it with Krishna. And there's a saying that we like to say in ISKCON, you can fool some of the people all of the time. You can fool all of the people some of the time, but you can't fool Krishna even one time. So don't try. This is the beginning of bhakti, when you realize you can't get away with anything. Krishna, Rukmini, Dwarkadish, they know everything that goes on this block, and they don't have to walk up and down and gossip to find out. They know everything. Everything that goes on here and beyond here. So the point is to come before them humbly. Prabhupada even said right here in this room back in 75, I think it was. You see this deity said? He's waiting to talk to you. He's waiting to talk to you. But are you ready? We come, we bow down all the time, we look, and we ooh and ah over the dress, but do we really want to talk to Dwarka Adish? Do we want him to talk to us? Why not? Why do we... You know, we like talking to each other, Prema, Brigu, we talk all the time. Why don't we want to talk to Dwarka Adish? He's ready to talk to us. Prabhupada said, at least you should come before him with folding hand and says, sir, I always crack up when Prabhupada says that, referring to God. He says, sir, we should come before him and say, sir, for so many lifetimes I've been ignoring you and ignoring your service. Now please accept me as your surrendered servant. At least that much. We should start the conversation. And if we do that sincerely, then Dwarka Adish will talk to us. He'll tell you which is the best sankirtan spot. He'll tell Subhas exactly what to do with his community, what to spend on what, and he's completely in charge. But the problem is we don't want actually anybody in charge of our lives. We want to be in charge of our own lives. At the very least, I should be in charge of my own life. We feel like that. Why should somebody tell me all the time what to do? At least I should decide what to eat, where to go, etc., etc. But who knows better than Krishna? Who knows better than Krishna? Do we really want to know, though? Do we really want his input? If we want it, he'll give it. If we don't want it, then, you know, he'll keep it the way we want it. You want to keep it as a as we say, platonic relationship. He'll keep it like that. But if you want an intense relationship with Krishna, he'll give you an intense relationship. Who could be more intense than God? You see? But lifetime after lifetime, we maybe dabble a little bit in the bhakti field, and the vast majority of our consciousness we give to other conditioned souls. What good is that going to do us? What can we do for each other? We can't. That's part of the avidya, the ignorance. We cannot do anything for each other. No matter how wealthy you are, if all of a sudden the food economy crashes, there's nothing you can do. It's happened already in the world so many times during World War II. There were many wealthy Germans. They had millions of Deutschmarks in the bank. They couldn't buy one loaf of bread. And the few people who had, farmers who had some food, they wouldn't sell it for any amount of money. What are they going to do? You can't eat the money. So we have to come to this platform of really, really wanting to associate with Krishna, Dwarkadish, to hear from him. And he's talking to us all the time through the scriptures, through the pure devotees. But he will also talk to us one-on-one if we want it. If we want to get out of avidya, ignorance, and really come to the platform of knowledge. Hare Krishna. I think we have a couple of minutes maybe for a question or two. Yes, Prema Sankirtan Prabhu. Amber, can you bring the microphone? Or Krishnapad, bring the microphone.
Hare Krishna.
Hare.
Nice class, thank you. So we have free will in any given point of time. So if Krishna is all-knowing, did he know in any given point of time when I want to, in the future, in any moment, moment by moment, when I want to decide what shall I want to do, should I go left or should I go right, or even feeling, should I, I've probably in future I will feel in this particular situation, I will choose to feel sorrow, or I will choose just one particular situation, and I will choose to be very joyful. So before that is manifest in my life, in particular situation, did Krishna already know what will happen?
Yes. Krishna himself says, Veda aham. Samati Tani, I know everything, past, present, and future, but me, nobody knows. So this is always a conundrum for philosophers. If God knows everything, then how do I have free will? How do I have free will? If God knows already what I'm going to do, then how is there any free will? So this is one of the achintya aspects of Krishna consciousness. It's difficult to understand that for us as teeny living entities, but we can get some idea. It's like if I put you in a train car on a track. That track only goes certain places. And you may be in there turning the wheel this way and that way. But it's on a track and it's going to go there. So when you take birth, it's stated in the Bhagavad Gita, depending on which mode you take birth in, you're going to have a particular outlook, particular tongue, particular like that. So you're going to be predisposed to like certain kinds of foods just based on the body that you have. You still think you have free will. You go into the prasadam hall, you look at what's there, and immediately you don't want that, and you want that. So you're exercising your free will for sure. But it's already dictated by the body you've been given, and Krishna knows. He has this kind of body. In this situation, he's going to do such and such. It's a given. You see? It's like being in that train car on a track. We're turning the wheel and looking out the window and this and that, but it's on a track. So it may seem that you have free will in steering the thing, but it's on a track. So when you get a particular material body, it's like being on a track. This particular body is going to be attracted to this kind of sense gratification, but not that kind of sense gratification. But meanwhile, we think we're exercising our free will. So when we go into the prasadam hall, somebody immediately grabs the extra salt. Before they even taste the prep, they grab the salt. You see? That's free will. You pick up the salt shaker and you go like that. But it's you're predisposed by this particular body that you have.
So one, if I understand, so is it then Krishna actually know his own knowing. Mm-hmm. So he know I have my karma. I have you know my, he know everything about my karma, my body. You know what I will do, and my subtle body what will do. But in the same time, in any moment, I have a choice to, you know, to my feeling to be like this, to feel like this, like that. So my question is actually, before this manifest, you know, in particular situation, did Krishna, I didn't understand that you said some answer to me, and did he already know how I will feel in a particular situation? Because he's all knowing.
Yeah, it's mentioned
so that means he's...
I get your point. It's mentioned in today's verse about thinking, feeling, and willing. But that thinking, feeling, and willing can also be put on a track. For instance, right now there's a lot of problem with race relationships in the United States. Why are some people predisposed to not like other races? Because they've been put on that track since birth. They've been put in a situation where they don't get transcendental knowledge to understand that every living being is equal. They don't get that kind of vision. And just the opposite. They get the kind of vision that tells them that any problem in life is caused by those people over there. So don't like them. You see what I'm saying? So they're predisposed to feel a certain way when they're put in a situation. They're already predisposed. It's a subtle activity, thinking, and then from thinking comes feeling, and then willing. So if you're trained to think in a certain way, you're going to develop certain kinds of feelings. It's guaranteed. So therefore, bhakti means retraining the thinking process. First of all, you learn to think that I'm not this body, I'm a spirit soul, I'm part and parcel of the supreme soul, the supreme controller. Everybody, all of us as living entities, we're all equal, whether we're in an ant body or a tree body or a Prema Sankirtan body. Whatever body you're in, you're equal to every other soul. Not greater, not smaller. Equal. And when you get that equal vision, then you can will yourself to act properly. But if your thinking is contaminated, then your feelings are going to be contaminated and you're going to will yourself to do contaminated activities. So bhakti means purifying the thinking process. When you purify your thinking, then you develop pure feelings and you act purely. Okay? We can go on more. It's time is running. We can talk some more about it. Jai, Granthara Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai. Good question. It's like Hare Krishna, Yugoslavians, they ask such questions.